This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Right now, you can find Kelly Gramlich hanging out with us because she was filling in for Wes last week, and she is back for more.
Wait, Kelly's back? Yep. Kelly's back?
Yep.
Okay, good. I'm out. I'll see you guys. Have a good rest of the day. Kelly's back.
She's
covering. I'm good.
You better be careful. She did a good job last week. You keep walking.
You may enter
that transfer portal and find no place to land, my man, in that transfer portal. Be careful with that thing.
Kelly, couple things here. Couple things right off the top, Kelly. Packer and Durham have adopted a new guideline. Is that what we're going to call it, Pack? Guideline? Ooh. Yeah, I think so. Guideline. New guideline this morning. We're going to assume everybody's in the transfer portal. How's that? We're just going to go with that. Everybody's transferring. Is that okay? You think we're good there?
Look, I think that's smart. Now, I'll tell you, I have no plans of getting in the transfer portal, but I don't even know if you should believe me, right? Because at this point, everyone is in the transfer portal, regardless of even if they're any good. But
yeah,
I plan on sticking with ACCN. I plan on sticking with all the things that I am doing right now. So not in transfer portal.
Well, I don't believe you. First of all, we're all available to leave or be told to leave. So let's understand how that game's played. And it's a two-way street. All right, let's get to hoops. Because last night on the ladies' side, you had an incredible game with UConn and Baylor. And I know people are going to be buzzing about the no call and so forth, but the physicality of the game, you never know. Kelly, you played it. You never know. You just ask officials to be fair, right? If I know how the game's going to be played, we can deal with it. Players will adjust, coaches will adjust, but sometimes it gets so physical that you wonder, hey, what's a foul? What's not a foul? Are you going to be consistent? And you now lead into a Louisville game tonight against Stanford. Stanford's got bigs and are also shooting lights out. That's a deadly combination and one that Jeff Walls has to really be concerned about tonight.
For sure. Well, I want to hit on Baylor-UConn real fast. First of all, that game was amazing. It was so much fun to watch. I was so entertained, and I know the men were playing over on another channel, but I flipped to Houston when it was over, but I didn't really care because to me the game of the night was Baylor-UConn, and I watch both sports. I love both games, but Baylor-UConn was great. And I did think the officials let it get a little out of hand early. They set the tone that they weren't going to call much. And so it became an absolute physical basketball game down low. First time UConn's played anything that looks like football in years. I mean, it was very, very physical. And so I understood what Gino Auriemma was saying at the end of his press conference. And I understood what Kim Mulkey was saying. But if you look at some of the missed calls throughout the entire game, you see that one at the end, that's the one that's most highlighted, but there were missed calls throughout because the officials let it get out of hand. If I'm Kent Mulkey, I'm super frustrated. If I'm Gino, I'm saying there were missed calls everywhere, on to the next. So I understand both sides, but I think officials have to be consistent. You can't just swallow your whistle at the end of the game. You have to call it like it is. You have to call it the same for 40 minutes. I know sometimes we don't see that in hoops, but I did understand why both coaches were frustrated. But I think the main story, guys, should be that that game was epic. There were so many talented players on both sides of the floor. If Dede Richards doesn't get hurt, who knows what happens. But, hey, these are ifs, and UConn's on to the Final Four. I'm just a little bummed that both those teams were on the same side of the bracket.
All right, but what about tonight?
Yeah, and that gets back to the 1-2. Yeah, that gets to the 1-2 situation, though, right, Kelly? That's because, right. I mean, here we are tonight with Stanford as a 1 and – Louisville is a 2, and look, I get it. Tara Vanderveer's got a great program and a great team out of the Pac-12, but I'm not going to dismiss just idly by what Jeff Walls and Louisville have done this year. This should be a really good ball game too, and that's kind of what your expectation level was last night. It delivered. Can we get it again tonight?
Yes, I think we can, and that's what I've been saying ever since this tournament started. I thought 1 through 8 – all the 1 seeds and all the 2 seeds could win the national title. And now you've got even a 3 seed in Arizona that's threatening. You've got Texas, a 6 seed in the Elite Eight. So the parity has shown out, and that's been really impressive. But yes, I think Louisville definitely can beat Stanford. To me, there's 2 main keys for Louisville tonight. Stanford is one of the absolute best 3-point shooting teams in the country, and they have been the best 3-point shooting team in this tournament. They hit 15 threes. Now, I called the Missouri State-Wright State game in the second round. The fact that Stanford blew out Missouri State, I wouldn't be too concerned. I'll just put it that way. That's a good team, but they're overmatched by Stanford. They hit 15 threes. If you're Louisville, you have to hold Stanford under 10 threes. That's first and foremost for me right here, because Louisville's probably not going to hit 8, 9, 10 threes. So that's my first key. And then secondly, for Louisville, it can't just be Dana. Now, Dana has to play well, but I think Louisville has to get two or three other Cardinals in double figures, whether that's Haley Van Lith, Kiana Smith, Olivia Cochran, whomever. But those are my two keys for Louisville tonight.
Here's the good news. Dana Evans is coming off a performance that just reassured you exactly what you thought, and that is a great player. She'd been kind of quiet early in the tournament, but the 29 spot when the team only scored 60 and played so well defensively has got to be encouraging to every Louisville and ACC fan.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. You guys know I'm a Dana stan, president of the Dana fan club. I love Dana. I think her game is incredible. And so she had me stressing, right? She had me pulling my hair out during this slump. But players get in slumps. It happens. It happens to all of us. You just hope it doesn't happen in March. And the best thing you can do to get out of a slump is to shoot your way out of a slump. Dana Evans is still the best player on the floor. She still should be taking 15 shots a game. It's only a matter of time. And Sunday, she was absolutely electrifying. And she got her three ball going again. That's a key for Dana. She's so quick. She can get past anyone. But teams have been zoning Louisville, so it's tougher for Dana to get in the middle and make plays because they collapse on her, and she still isn't that big, only at 5'6". But if she can knock down a couple threes, it opens the floor for her entire team, but also for her dribble drive. And keep an eye on her tonight. If maybe you're tuning in for the first time and you haven't really seen Dana, keep an eye on her speed. Jeff Wall says she has the quickest first step in the country, and I agree. When she gets in the middle of the paint, she does a great job of either knowing when to score or dishing to her post players. Sometimes you wonder, how did she even see that post player? She's making no-look passes. She's passing around 6'3". She just finds a way. She's incredible. So I think Dana's going to show up. But to my point, guys, I think HVL, Kiana Smith, those two have to be in double figures and most likely each hit a couple threes to spread that floor. And then I think Olivia Cochran, she just has to be solid inside, cannot get in foul trouble. Cam Brink is a problem inside for Stanford at 6'4". Stanford brings Fran Belibi off the bench. They bring a player that can dunk off the bench. So the post players for Louisville have to be very solid inside.
All right, Kelly, I don't want to tree top this. I mean – we had three teams go to the Sweet 16 on the women's side in the ACC. How important is it to get one through to the Final Four here? I mean, we talked with Quentin Hillsman a couple of weeks ago after the field was set. We were talking about how much quality there was in the ACC, but you're kind of only remembered if you get to the last four here, right? I mean, that conference flag does fly. That's a real deal. So how important is it for the league tonight to get Louisville through?
It's very important. There's no doubt about it. You look at the ACC teams that have made recent Final Fours, of course, Notre Dame a couple years ago in our last tournament, Louisville and Notre Dame the year before. So it's really fallen on Louisville and Notre Dame as of late. We know that those two have been at the top of the pack for the most part. But I think even more so, guys, the fact that NC State lost so early. I've seen people talking about that, calling NC State overrated, et cetera. I don't think so. I think that without Kayla Jones, they weren't the same team. But still, their side of the bracket really opened up. And so that was disappointing for NC State not to make the Final Four. And so when you're a champion, loses so early, I think there's even a little more pressure on Louisville to prove it for the ACC just because NC State went out so early. Now, Georgia Tech overachieved, and I thought Georgia Tech played South Carolina really well. South Carolina just hit a bunch of threes, which they never do, and I thought Georgia Tech really impressed. But to your point, guys, I think this is a big deal for the ACC. It would mean a lot for Louisville to get to the Final Four, especially in a year where your one seed went out pretty early.
I will also point out, though, that if Louisville, again, if's the biggest word in sports, if Louisville gets to the Final Four, they will become the eighth ACC team in the last seven NCAA tournaments to reach the Final Four, which is the most of any conference. So it's not one of those kind of things where you say, hey, what have you done for me lately? The conference has won the national title. They've been to Final Fours. But I think given the fact that the men's side, quite frankly, had one of these kind of years, you kind of now look to the ladies to go, okay, tag, you're it. And then you have a one seed like NC State lose early. Kelly, as you pointed out, you kind of go, oh my God, it's kind of a gloom and doom. But I'll say it again. If Louisville wins tonight and gets to the Final Four, that's 8 ACC teams in the last 7 Final Fours for the ladies, more than any other conference on the planet. So, you know, I think you do have to put all that kind of stuff in perspective, and you're taking on a really good team too. I mean, anytime you get a 1 and a 2, as indicated by last night's game with UConn and Baylor, which was felt like a national championship game, to be honest with you, and that's an Elite Eight game. Just goes to show you the competitiveness that you've got right now in the ladies' game on the 1 and the 2 seeds, and again, hopefully we'll get that tonight. Switching gears real quick, A.G. Shepherd, in this day and age of the transfer portal where everybody's allowed to go, she said, you know what, Blacksburg's pretty cool. Coming back. That is great news for Kenny Brooks.
I am so excited for Virginia Tech. And really, I'm excited for me because I get to watch A'ja Shepherd for another year. And so I'm very happy about that. A'ja Shepherd is one of my favorite players in the entire country, and especially in the ACC. I've called Dana Evans the best player in the league, and I think A'ja Shepherd's the best scorer in the league. And the fact that she's coming back, first of all, it speaks to the culture at Virginia Tech that she wants to return, do one more year, go through preseason and all that stuff again to play with this team. And it speaks to what they have coming back too, because she wants to play another year with Liz Kitley and Georgia Amore and Kayla King. That's going to be a formidable group inside, and Azana Baines as well. So I think Virginia Tech is a team where they may even start ranked. They may start receiving some votes. And they're going to have to live up to the hype, but this is a team that I expect. I think they should. Their goal next year with A'ja Shepherd coming back should be Sweet 16 or bust. And then beyond that, you see what happens. But I think their talent level is going to be extremely high. And the fact that we get A'ja Shepherd and Liz Kitley together again is great news for all basketball fans.
All right, Kelly, I'm going to ask you to prospect here. Packer and I got tagged yesterday on social media with news that show favorite and the queen of Yoo-Hoo and beef jerky, Gina Conti, is going to transfer for a grad year from Wake Forest. Now, I got to believe somebody like that has got a lot of value on the open market just because, A, the experience, but, B, her ability to deliver the basketball at a pretty high level would make her somebody that would be fairly attractive in terms of that grad transfer market, which, as we know, at least for the time being, is different than the transfer portal.
Right. We got to keep track of all these things. I was shocked by that, guys. I was absolutely shocked to see Gina Conti in the transfer portal. Conti's a great player, and not only can she distribute, but she's really picked up her scoring in the last couple of years. And it seemed like Wake Forest, they put out some stuff saying we wish her the best and it's all good. So it seems like things are fine. Maybe she just wanted a change of scenery. She's from Ohio. Maybe she goes somewhere a little closer to home. I'm not sure. But I was really surprised by that, because if she came back, I thought Wake would be in a similar situation like Virginia Tech, feeling really good. Even though we know Ivana Ratza is moving on, probably going to go play professionally overseas. And I get it, Pac, you know, and Wes. Like, if you've been in college for 4 years, sometimes you want to move on. Sometimes you feel like, I'm done, I'm an adult, I'm going to go do something else. And that's kind of what Ratza's doing. But Conti is going to play elsewhere. I was very surprised, guys. There's no doubt. And I know the main issue here is that Packer and Durham will suffer, because you're not going to be able to get Conti on unless she transfers in conference, which, who knows? I guess that's okay now.
I don't know.
I feel bad for Packer and Durham, first and foremost.
Well, I wasn't surprised, because as we said half an hour ago, everybody's gone. I mean, I'm just assuming everybody's getting up and leaving, and maybe you'll come back and say, you know what, I liked it there. So, cool. But we wish Gina the best. I mean, she was a blast to talk to
She's
on the
awesome.
Show, and just a great personality, and obviously tremendous student, really good player. And whatever she decides to do, you wish them the best, man. It's like, hey, if that's what you want to do, great success. Hope you're happy, and go get them. So we'll see what happens on that front.
Hey, by the way, you can't get enough Yeah, there you go.
You can't get enough of Kelly Gramley. You know, as a grad transfer, you're good. If you're if you graduate, you can go do what you want. You've earned that right.
Exactly. Exactly right.
There you go. Don't forget, Kelly Gramlich is available in the Upstate on radio every day with the venerable William Quackenbush on 105.5 The Roar in the Upstate. You can listen to KG wax poetic every day.
We're a package deal.
Yeah, package as opposed to Packer deal, which is always a better deal. Kelly, thank you. Be well. Tell everybody hello.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
You bet. Kelly Gramlich from Nothing But Net and All ACC and everything else we got for you here on Women's Basketball and ACC Network. Don't forget, we've got lacrosse, high-level lacrosse for you coming up Thursday night, 7 o'clock. How about 1-2 here, Pac?
That's pretty good.
We'll be at Duke for the number 2 Tar Heels, the number 1 Blue Devils. Coverage starts at 7 Eastern. You hear about hoops all the time. I'm telling you, the lacrosse thing's a real deal. This is worth your investment. Thursday night, 7 o'clock Eastern, right here on ACC Network, streaming live always, as Pac tells you, on the ESPN app. When we come back, we go fencing.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Oh, yeah, we do. The Irish have won another national championship. And we will talk about it again next on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
I know we got basketball going on. Men are out. Louisville plays tonight on the ladies' side. We're giving you sentences. We got number 1-2 in men's and women's lacrosse in the ACC this week. We got baseball, where NC State yesterday swept North Carolina, kind of a delayed weekend baseball deal. We got golf. I'm going to talk about my man Larry Penley later on. I mean, we got all these sports happening. But this is the segment I'm most excited about today on the show, because yesterday I asked Muffet, I need to get one of those fencing masks, the saber, and you know what? Here we go. I was going to call him Coach K, but I can't really do that on ACC Network, so I'm just going to call him Deal. Coach, first of all, welcome to the show, and congratulations on another national championship in fencing at Notre Dame.
Really appreciate it. It's an honor to be with you guys and representing our university and our fencing program.
Well, you've done an incredible job. Now, all right. For the record, though, and this is why I'm going to call you, I'm not going to call you Coach K, but give us the official pronunciation of the name, because we do not want to butcher this on the air. And we've been practicing, let me tell you something, we've been practicing this since we found out yesterday we're going to have you on Rocking and Rolling. And I think Wes and I have butchered this to death, so we don't want to screw this thing up. So let it rip. So we won't mess this up.
The first name is Gia, and the last name would be Kvaratskhelia. It's a Georgian, Eastern European.
All right, Coach K. Sounds great. All right, we're going to go with it. It doesn't ever get old, though, does it? I mean, another national championship? I mean, it never gets old, does it?
Well, definitely. I don't know. I'm on the cloud 9. I'm still trying to decompress from the emotions over the weekend. But most importantly, thinking of our student athletes and all of them who participated from every other team, what a brave gesture and what they have to endure to get there. But bringing the trophy at home, it's really never old to honor the university.
Nice.
Coach, here's the interesting part about fencing. It's a sport. We know it happens at the collegiate level. I think it is an Olympic-driven sport in that people see it every 4 years when the Olympics roll around, things of that nature. But the high-level fencing at Notre Dame, really in some other ACC schools, it's one of those sports that I think gets under the radar, if you will. You guys have done it at such a – I mean, 11 national titles is no joke here, but the idea that it continues to happen at such a high level, even when it's not an Olympic movement, if you will, what's that mean to you?
I don't know. It's a dream come – it's not a cliche, but dream come true. I mean, I go to work every single day, and being that I'm a part of this incredible place who truly honors and – sponsors and supports the fencing to the highest level. Speaking of Olympics, you just mentioned it. We are sitting on the 9 and possibly going to have 11 representatives at the Tokyo Olympics this summer. That's former and a present at Notre Dame alums and athletes. So this is the heavily Olympic-driven sport. And kids, when they pick up the sport of fencing, they think the first Olympics and that exposure, the medals, and then it manifests itself to the channeling themselves to the coming to college, and we're great beneficiaries of that.
Coach, I've said this on the air. I want to come up to South Bend to see you guys participate and do your thing, because I don't know anything about the sport. I mean, I watched it, but I don't understand the nuances. So with that said, what makes a great fencer? How would you define it?
You know, to be honest with you guys, in this morning, hopefully not very many people watching, but I still don't understand it. I just fake it sometimes that I do. But
same here. That's amazing. You're going to fit right in with us.
We fake it 3 hours a day. Yeah. We fake it 3 hours a day. Yeah.
So it is combination of everything. It's a pure endurance. It's absolutely psychological, because it's one-on-one. It's emotional. It's a physical chess, when the people call it. You have to have every aspect and every virtue and trait of this superstar athlete. At the same time, you have to be a chess player to calculate your moves by three moves ahead. So it is an incredibly difficult sport. I played few sports, you know, in my life, and the fencing by far will be one of the toughest.
Okay, so you're talking about the mental aspect. How about physically? Like I'm 6'3" and large. I mean, from a physical standpoint, what makes the perfect fencer? Like, how would you describe physically? I mean, does that make a difference? Big, small, wide, fast hands, eye coordinate. I mean, you tell me. I mean, what makes the makeup of a fencer?
Well, the size, really, it's not that of a big of issue here. You have to have explosive. You have to be explosive. You have to be fast. And those are two different things. You have to be powerful. You have to have a great endurance. So you describe the athletics, and you need all those traits to be great in anything you do. In fencing, you have to have all of those together to be great.
Coach, we just watched a clip here where, and I'm gonna boil this down to the basics, so forgive me. We just saw a left-handed fencer and a right-handed fencer in a standoff there. How valuable is left-handed fencing? What does that mean when you get to that point?
Well, you know, the tennis would be a great example. The basketball, you know, their shots come from the different angle. The tennis, they're rare. I don't know what happens there lately, but it was the statistics that 70%, only 30% of the athletes are left-handers, and the 70% of world champions are left-handers. So it's rare.
Wow.
It's hard. Their trajectory of the touches, their angles, they cover themselves are different. But again, great fencers could come from the both hands.
Hand speed or footwork? What's more important? They're both important, but what's more important in fencing? Hand speed or footwork?
Great question. They have to be combined in a great sequence together. You have to have a coordination and anticipation in order to have advantage. Either hand speed or the footwork separately will not be advantage point for anyone. It has to be really crafted to the one sequence when you deliver that final touch in the right moment and right angle.
And Coach, from you go back. I want to go back, because I'm learning. This is why I'm excited about this segment, because I know nothing about the sport, but I've seen it. So I don't want to figure out when I'm watching. From a mental standpoint, the person, like, I watch it and go, well, why don't you just attack from the get-go? And I know you just said, hey, this is chess, so you got to be three. So that already tells me it's not just a bull in a china shop that, hey, 3, 2, 1, go, and you go after somebody. So you tell me why that doesn't work, where I just go, okay, I'm going up against Coach. Hey, Coach, guess what? When this light goes on, I'm coming after you. So tell me why that doesn't work.
So there's the assumption that the tip of the weapon in a second fastest moving object in the sport after the bullet. So that's combined with the speed. If you don't time it right, and that speed, it fails you, you're going to get hit. So yes, you could be, you know, come out of the box really fast, but it has to be, every single action has to be calculated to be able to precisely deliver the touch. If not, pretend you are in a duel and you have the one shot to stay alive.
Right.
How do you calculate those moves? You're not going to just come out swinging. You're going to impale yourself in the weapon. So it is the craft. It is the science to it.
Coach, if you and I have a duel, and you got a gun, I got a gun, I got news for you. I don't know if I'm going to make it, but I'm shooting first. I'm getting the first shot off and taking my chances.
He's going to lose, but he's going to shoot first.
I'm an European. I'm European. We don't bring the guns on the knife fight. So that's an American concept.
Exactly. This is why I'm excited about this interview, because I am going to learn something here in these 15 minutes. I promise you.
All right, Coach, I want to drill down a little bit on national championships here, and I want to get into the details of this past weekend, because the lenders have been awfully good to Notre Dame fencing. I mean, you had Luke pick up a national championship, Kara pick up a national championship. This is a pretty talented brother-sister combination that works for you, huh?
Well, after the competition was over, I was thinking to call in their mom and dad, Jason and Nina, if they had the third child somewhere hidden in the closet in the home. But I know for a fact. We recruited them, both of them, so I knew the family only had four members. But that's the first time in the history of Notre Dame fencing that brother and sister competed at the same time, actually winning the individual event. We had a Kiefer siblings, who one of them won the individual and the other one was in a medal round, and the team won that year. So the Kiefers walked away with the two titles. The Linders actually took three this time. So,
wow. You became a U.S. citizen 17 years ago. What does it mean to be a U.S. citizen for you, given your background?
The world to me. And truly, truly, I still get teared up when the national anthem plays. Actually, my associates, two out of three, my incredible assistant coaches and our associate head coach, they're naturalized. One is naturalized U.S. citizen, one is getting through the process. And we talked on opportunities and true the greatness of this country. They're giving everyone a chance to succeed on the highest level and the maximizing their potential. And I'm so grateful this country. My children are U.S. citizens, and my heart belongs to my former and my present place.
Coach, with that said, and given what our country went through last year and what you saw student-athletes really take ownership of inequalities in our country and taking a stand and taking ownership, I guess that really meant something to you to understand what this country is all about and the opportunities that you have here.
I grew up in a different world. I came from a totalitarian regime, and yes, no matter how great we are, we have so much more to do and so much further to go. And the athletes being on the forefront of this movement makes us to be so proud of this environment.
Well, I want to tell you, you've done a remarkable job at the University of Notre Dame, and it has been a real treat to visit with you, and congratulations on the national championship in fencing this weekend. You got two guys now who are vested now. We want to keep following this. Now, there is this one thing about Muffet McGraw potentially asking you to send us a mask.
Not just a mask.
Packers head.
I want the sword. I want the whole deal. I want the whole makeup.
I'm not sure about the weapon, Coach. I'm not sure we need the weapon sent. Okay, here's the deal.
Wait a minute. Let me speak for
myself. My man's got a big cranium here. We need to make sure we get the extra large helmet, the extra large mask, if you will.
I consider it as a done deal. You guys, give me your addresses, and it'll be delivered to you.
Perfecto. By the way, I got one more wish list, though, for you. For me. You speak fluently in three different languages. Could you give us a Packer and Durham promo in Russian? And just say, hey, listen, you're watching Packer and Durham on ACC Network in Russian. Can you say that?
I will do in my native language, the Georgian. One of the original languages in the world. Tkven uqurebt Packer da Durhamis shous am Diladrian.
Love it. Coach, congratulations, man. You home run on this interview. Home run.
Gia, thank you. Appreciate it.
Go Irish.
All right.
That's it.
Be
Love
well.
It.
You bet. Congratulations. You bet. Was that Georgian different than my Georgian?
Yeah,
okay.
Wes, your Georgian is a language can only be spoken in your state, right? Only the locals in Cartersville know what in the world you're talking about. You leave Coach out of this.
Just
Coach
checking.
Is now part of the team. Now.
I did.
Coach
I did. I just, I just asked. You're going to get your mask.
Oh,
you're going to get your mask.
If you don't think I'm not wearing that on this show, you're out of your mind. I will have on
I'm well aware.
Not only will I wear it on this show, I already know what I'm dressing up for Halloween, boys. I'm going to be a Notre Dame fencer. I'm going to look like the Michelin man going mad.
Great.
Going down the street with the kids.
Sure.
Come Halloween.
I tend to think more Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. All right, we'll take a break. One sentence per team. When we continue, we got a few more schools to cover. Plus, you're already starting to hit us up on Twitter, hashtag Packer in Durham. Some of you are calling in with your thoughts. We're going to get to that and more as we roll on a Tuesday, halfway home on ACCN.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. Fencing, fencing, fencing. 11 national championships for Notre Dame. People call it a football school. It might just be a fencing school like Muffet said yesterday. Become a fencing school. Speaking of Notre Dame, we are going to continue our one sentence. He was outstanding. I hope we get him back. He was great. I was excited about that because we're going to learn something. Because I know there's a lot of folks that, fencing, I really don't know anything about it. And so there you go. Trying to educate everybody there on that. Plus, we got some gear coming our way, I'm all for that for the baseball.
You got
be great.
You got plans now, don't you? I can already start to see the mind spinning a little bit on the fencing championships for the ACC next winter. I'm starting to see things. Packer getting involved.
Yep. Yeah. I told you.
All right, here we go. Let's go to Notre Dame.
I want to get on that golf cart at the cross country ACC champs. I want to get on the rowing there on Lake Hartwell with the Clemson crew, and I want to get that fencing thing going on with Notre Dame. And I want a milkshake at a Miami baseball game. That's on the bucket
list.
There
we go. All right.
Milkshakes at Miami baseball.
We're gonna finish up strong here. One sentence per team for ACC basketball. We're actually going to keep it in South Bend. And when we last talked, I told you for Miami, my sentence was the return takes time. For Notre Dame, it's the return takes time part two. Notre Dame, behind Miami, has had more complexity with injury, most notably somebody like Robbie Carmody. But the idea that the Irish just have not been able to sequence success, Pack. And look, I think Notre Dame, we're now talking about next year with Notre Dame. Jordan Cornette mentioned it. We've had a lot of conversation about it. We're already looking to what expectation we have with Notre Dame. So if the return takes time, 21-22 is going to be big for the Irish.
All right. Well, I didn't go there at all. My sentence for Notre Dame basketball for 20-21 was an unusual February flameout. Have been so good in the month of February in years past. And you looked at the schedule and you thought, hey, Notre Dame, in the early part of the month, it was like, here we go again. Here comes the Irish. You look down the schedule. This team can get on a run. An unusual thing happened. They weren't very good in February. And I didn't really understand it. I mean, they had some weird games in February. The ironic thing is they closed it out in March by knocking off Florida State in the last regular season game and prevented Florida State from being the number one seed in the ACC tournament. So, for me, Notre Dame was kind of an enigma, but an unusual February flameout is the way I would describe the folks in South Bend for 20-21. All right, Pittsburgh.
All right, let's go to Pitt.
You ready?
Yep.
My sentence for Pittsburgh was this. At least it was a great year for Justin Champagne. I mean, this dude I thought had an ACC player of the year. He was consistently good, a double-double machine, 1-2 scoring and rebounding, not in that order. He had a tremendous year, but for Pitt, they did not. So I looked at the bright side with Pitt. Number 11's a dude.
He is. There's no question. For me, it was we hardly knew you. I think we had moments – And I mean moments on a limited basis for the Panthers. But on the whole, we never really got to see what this was all about. And that's a shame. Because I think they did have some, even from opening night against St. Francis Pack all the way to the end. I mean, we had like a spot here and a spot there, but that was it. Champagne was tremendous. The defections late, I thought, were a real downturn. And Pittsburgh and Wake Forest are two schools that have five or more players currently in the transfer portal in the ACC. So to say that we're going to see a brand new roster next year in some way, shape, or form, I think is probably almost a given at this point.
They're not the only ones. Like I said, everybody's in the transfer portal. Everybody.
That's
speaking
right.
Of Wake,
yeah.
Speaking of Wake Forest, what was all your right. sentence for the Deacs?
Get ready for year one again. I think Steve Forbes did a really good job this year, Pac. The long COVID pause in December. But let's be honest. A lot of what we saw, we're getting ready to see again. Now, you know, it's going to be incumbent to keep guys kind of engaged in the program. I know we're going to assume everybody's in the portal. But I think with Williamson, you're giving yourself a chance. I think Carter Witt's a nice piece. I'd like to kind of know what Masood and Musius are thinking from that standpoint. But I think it's year one all over again. And remember how I think Coach Forbes even said this with you last week, that Carter Witt was a guy who, you know, he's going to value because of just what he did, what he was willing to do for this particular team. I think it'll help him next year. But to think it's anything other than another version of year one, I think we'd be mistaken if we're looking at Wake that way.
My sentence for Wake was pretty simple. The foundation is being built.
Yeah.
Is there work to be done? No question. Was there progress this year? Yeah, there was. This was a team that was better than they were the year before. Do they have a lot of work to do? They sure do. And Steve Forbes, of course, was in your chair basically on a Friday show, and we talked a lot about the transfer portal. And, you know, head on the swivel every 5 minutes, there's seemingly a half dozen guys that you can look at and say, see where this is going to go. You have no earthly idea what a roster is going to look like for anybody in this league, much less around the country.
Right.
And that's why I kidded around earlier about, hey, everybody's in the transfer portal. We'll have to wait till October, November, just see what a roster looks like for any of these teams. But I think Steve Forbes did a lot of good things in year one, but as he'd be the first one to tell you, there's still a lot of work to be done in Winston-Salem. All right, finally, our last team to address is Boston College. And boy, you know, between COVID, very few wins, lost your coach. Thank goodness it's over is the only way I could describe BC basketball for 20-21. It was a train wreck. It was a mess.
Yeah. Well, thank goodness it's over is one way. I said wish we knew. I mean, I wish we knew kind of what this was supposed to be. It never materialized. You know, there is some – this has been a difficult, difficult stretch for Boston College. Not just a year or two, but about the last 5 years. And Earl Grant's got a major undertaking on his hands to get the Eagles back into a competitive situation with ACC basketball. But the wish we knew is really – I wish we did know. I don't have a feel today for BC – that answers any questions I had 2-3 years ago, Pac. And that's unfortunate. That's unfortunate when you say that.
You say wish we knew. I do know. I know that 20-21 was ugly. That's what I know. Again, thank goodness it's over.
Yeah.
Kind of like this segment.
Yep. Yeah. And when we come back, true or false, quick reminder to you, we have got plenty more coming up. Softball right here on ACC Network Friday afternoon. 5 o'clock, Notre Dame, Florida State from Tallahassee. I'm telling you, this is good too. You can see it on the ESPN app or live on ACCN. Good way to start the weekend. ACC softball right here. When we come back, true or false, I'm so excited to be back for True or False presented by Dish. Thank you very much. Back after this on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Packer and Durham.
Time for a little true or false. presented by Dish. Right here.
Dish.
You ready to roll? Smart
the
people.
The voice
up
of
in
victory
Bristol.
Yep. Guides us through this.
Yep.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the ACC Network studios in the Constitution State, and we join the voice of victory, ladies and gentlemen, Joshua Macri.
Thought you were going to go middle name there, too.
What is the middle name? I'm just curious. What is
No, don't do that. Don't do that.
We're not worried about it right now.
What is it?
Yeah, we're not.
It is Caleb. True. That's what it is.
Caleb.
Either way. Either way.
How you doing? Everything good?
Everything is good.
Good? Good show, by the way. You guys have done a great job. Thank you.
We're trying.
It's nice to be back with you.
We're trying. Yeah, it's nice to have you back. But either way, let's ask a few questions here. True or false, presented by Dish. First one, big game tonight, obviously, between Louisville and Stanford. Dana Evans finally came alive on Sunday against Oregon, scoring 29. Her 18th 20-point game of the season. Will she score 20 tonight? True or false? Keep in mind, Stanford has only allowed 5 20-point scorers this year.
Forget that. The answer is true. We're talking about a superstar. True. Superstar tonight.
Yep.
Dana Evans will give you 20-plus. True.
Yep. I'm with you on that one. Let's go true. Dana, true.
Yep.
Getting 20.
20 plus. And we'll need to get 20 plus for Louisville to win.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt. No doubt. So we're there on 20.
Yep. There's the lashes right there. Lashes.
Fair enough. So Dana Evans, two-time Women's Player of the Year, which brings us to our next true or false question. True or false, the ACC Men's Player of the Year next year will be a transfer.
Ooh.
True.
Wow, really?
True.
You going to go there?
I am. I'm gonna say false. I'll say false. I'm going to go false. Mark the tape. I'm interested where we end up on this one. Of course, Packer and I are assuming everybody's in the portal. But
that's why.
I will say false. Yeah.
I'm going to tell you why I say true. Let me explain my reasoning there. I'm not just saying it just to give you one. Here's my reasoning behind it. The ACC this year did not have a first team, a second team, a third team, All-American. You know when's the last time that happened?
Right.
You know when that's the last time that's happened in the ACC in basketball? That's a since dirt.
Oof.
No first team, no second team, no third team All-American, which tells me the league was young. There's no doubt about that. But we got all these transfers, and who knows what a roster looks like. So sitting here on March 30th, if you're telling me we don't have a quote-unquote great All-American player in the league right now, what makes you think the returners are an automatic to be that guy? So that's why I'm going to go true that a transfer is the player of the year next year in the league. That's the reasoning behind it.
What about a freshman?
Whatever.
Okay.
That could be true too. I mean, so the point of it is that the current rosters as you know it this season – there wasn't a first, second, or third team All-American on anybody's list.
Right.
Zero. Nada. So,
all right.
I'm going to say true. There you go.
All right.
All right, guys, a couple more here. Speaking of transfers, our friend Gina Conti will be playing someplace else next year as she has entered the portal. True or false, Ms. Conti will shoot better than 84% from the line at her next destination, wherever that may be.
True. With her eyes closed.
I don't know.
With her eyes closed.
Wait,
true.
Let's go. I want Yoo-Hoo and beef jerky. That's got to be one of the determining factors in this, doesn't it?
Well, it would not surprise me. Listen, she is a really talented player, but more importantly, she's got great personality, incredibly smart, already got her degree from Wake, and she's going to have success no matter what she does. It wouldn't surprise me if she is the CEO of Yoo-Hoo before it's all said and done. So she is a talented lady. We really, really enjoyed our conversations with her. And we'll miss not having her on. And if she wants to come back, she can always hang with us, always. But we wish her the best. She's easy to root for.
All right, fellas, last one quickly. Of course, there are two huge lacrosse matches this week involving the North Carolina Tar Heels. Men currently number two facing number one Duke on Thursday. Women number one facing number two Syracuse on Saturday. True or false?
It's true.
A week from now, both Carolina teams will be at number one.
Josh, he doesn't even let you ask the question.
No, he made a statement. He made a statement, true or false. I mean, if you listen to the question, the answer is true.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. True. You're unbelievable. Unbelievable.
True. That's true.
I go away. I battle COVID. I come back.
Oh, come on. Oh. Sweat it out. Oh. Man up. Let's go. Let's go.
Okay.
It's not like we haven't done shows like on here with COVID before. Please. Even though the doctors disagreed. Thank goodness Kim Mulkey's not running the show, isn't she? She'd be like, hey, everybody get together. Let's go. Move on.
All right. Asia Durr is coming on this program at 9:15. We're very excited about that. Louisville legend, great player. Looking forward to getting her thoughts on tonight's game with the Cards and the Cardinal. And we will also get into something we mentioned yesterday. Tough weekend for ACC basketball. Do you realize how spoiled we've been?
Oh, yeah.
Holy smokes. It takes a year like this to understand just how high on the cotton we've been living when it comes to college basketball. Power Hour next on ACC Network.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.